Amen. It's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting today. And again, I would like to thank everybody for coming out. And I just have this, in my spirit, I just feel this is going to be, especially at the end, this is going to be just a wonderful time of prayer. But let's go ahead and turn our attention to the Word of God. So as we do, we like to do a little bit of review of what happened in teaching of the last time, in the last home group meeting. And so I think Brother Howard shared last time, but the last time I spoke, and I have some little notes that we're going to go ahead and move through from last time I shared from the book of John, and then we'll go ahead and launch into what the Lord has for us today. Amen? So the last time that, that I shared from the book of John, we looked at, we're looking at the fourth chapter of John. It says, one of the, about seven or different points, and I'm going to go ahead and quickly share. It says, in the body of Christ, all are the same. Amen? Remember that, Brother Ray? We're talking about that today. We're all the same. And each believer receives from the Father a portion. He never, ever receives everything.
That's right.
God always gives us a portion. He never gives us everything at one time because we can't handle everything.
Amen.
We're all the same. We're all the same. There's not one person better than the other.
That's right.
We're all the same, and God gives us our portion. He gives us our daily bread.
Wow. Amen.
And that brings us into God's goal. And God's goal is Galatians 4:19. Who has Galatians 4:19? Okay.
Galatians chapter 4, verse 19.
Yep.
My little children, from whom I travailed in birth, again until Christ be formed in you.
Oh, wow. Read that again. That last part.
The last part?
Yeah, just the last part.
Christ be formed in
you. Oh, wow. Man, wow, that is wonderful. That is God's goal in our life. God's goal in our lives is not to make us beautiful or handsome or intelligent. That's not God's goal. He's not even trying to make us famous. He's not trying to make us happy. God is not trying to make us happy. God is trying to form His Son, Christ, in us. That's His goal in our life, and that's what He wants to do. He wants to form His Son, wow, into our life. That is a pretty tough job. I don't know about you, Pastor Antonio, but I know in my life that's a pretty tough job. And God tries to do that, amen?
Amen.
But that's His goal. And so we talked about that last time we shared. The second thing we talked about was talking about the Samaritan lady. The Samaritan lady. And, how some of the Samaritans believe on her, believe on her words. And then, but in verse 41, it said, of John chapter 4, it said that many more people believed on His words, on Jesus' words. Wow. And, there's a spiritual principle here in operation that we are to, it's our duty, it is our obligation that we are to share the gospel message with everyone that we meet. It is our responsibility. It's our duty. That's what we are put on this earth to do, the things. But the number one thing that God wants us to do is share what God has done in our life and share that gospel message with people around the world. Another thing we looked at last time was Jesus came again to Canaan. And Canaan, of course, is where He turned the water into wine. And there he met this nobleman from Capernaum, and in your third little map there I've enclosed to give you a little lay of the land here, as we can see, one is Canaan, and up here is Capernaum. So that gives you a little map and gives you a little distance. And from Canaan to Capernaum is about 16 miles. Amen. So anyways, and Jesus met this man from Capernaum whose son was sickened to death. And when the nobleman, probably a Jewish man, heard about Jesus, he saw him. Wow, he saw him. He healed his son. And Jesus met the need. Don't you know that Jesus always meets the need? Amen? Jesus always meets the need. Wow. Especially the Jewish people. Because also we kind of looked at some things about Jesus and the Jewish people, and that was Jesus was sent to the Jewish people. Let me say that again. When Jesus came to earth, he was sent to the Jewish people. Who has Matthew 15 and 24?
Matthew 15:24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Wow. Jesus was sent to the lost house of Israel, to the Jewish people. Who has Matthew 10:5-8? Steve, can you grab that? Matthew 10:5-8.
These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Amen. So Jesus came and he sent the disciples out, and he said the message was not the message of the gospel, not grace, because Jesus hasn't died yet. That wasn't the message that the disciples had to go out. It was the message of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, what is the kingdom of heaven? Dear, read that last verse that you just read. What is the message of the kingdom of heaven? Go and do what?
As you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Heal the sick.
Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
Well, these are the things that Jesus told the disciples to do. Guess what? We are to do those same and very things. And we're going to look at that a little bit. But that's what Jesus wanted the disciples to do. And believe it or not, that's what Jesus wants us to do. There was only two Gentiles that Jesus, according to the scripture, that Jesus ministered to. And that was the centurion, who was a Roman soldier, was a Gentile, and then the ladies whose daughter was possessed with demons in a fourth end. That was Matthew 8:5-9 with the centurion. And then Matthew 15:22-29 is the story where Jesus ministered to those two Gentiles, the only people in the Bible that Jesus, or the only two Gentiles that's recorded in the Bible that Jesus ministered to. And the last thing we looked at last meeting was, it was Jesus' second miracle in the same place that he did his first miracle. And that was not by accident. Was the first miracle, Jesus turned the water into wine in Canaan, and when he killed this little boy, and we want to talk about that today, that also happened in Canaan. Amen? So now let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us today, and that will be John 4:48-54. So it's only about six verses, but it's really, really powerful six verses. Amen? So starting in verse 48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Wow. Commentary. Jesus just spoke a rebuke into the man's heart. Now, if the soil is right, the rebuke will take hold and bring forth fruit. So Jesus rebuked this man because he said, you all have to see, and talk about the Jewish people, they have to see a miracle before they believe. But we know the Samaritans, they did not need to see a miracle. They believed Jesus' words, and they believed the lady at the well's words. Wow, that's very, very, very powerful there. The basis of this man's faith was the report from the signs and wonders that Jesus performed in Jerusalem. And this must have been quite disturbing because he just came from people who did not need to see a sign, those Samaritans. The king's servants must have been Jewish. So this nobleman, he must have been Jewish. The Jewish people required a sign and a wonder to believe, but not the Samaritans. Yes, Jesus did do signs and wonders so that the people would believe. But you ready? But it is not, signs and wonders is not what God wants for us today. Wow. Signs and wonders is not what God is looking for us in our daily life today. God has given us divine spiritual principles that we are to operate in. And if we operate in those divine spiritual principles, then signs and wonders will not be that important to our life. It is more important that we operate in those divine spiritual principles that are contained in the Word of God, and then Jesus won't have to do a miracle for us. Wow. Remember, miracles were done so that people would believe. But we don't, we walk by faith and not by sight, right? So, believe it or not, signs and wonders and miracles and all that good stuff, that's all nice stuff, but that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to walk in those divine spiritual principles that He's established. Amen? The noble man said with him, "Sir, come down ere my son die." Now, notice this noble man was very, very reverent. He was very, very respectful. His interest, the real important matter, was in the healing of his son. To him, believing was beside the point. He knew that Jesus could heal his little boy, and that was the only thing that he had on his heart to accomplish. The noble man was not trying to desperately get to Jesus, but desperately trying to get his son to Jesus. Wow. If this is the point in healing, I'm going to write anything down. Write this down. What's important in the focus of healing is not for us to do this or do that, but the point in healing is for us to get to Jesus. That's the point. We are to get to Jesus. Amen? Who has John 12, 20 and 22? Okay, John 12, 22.
"And there were certain priests among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came before to Philip, which is of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we will see Jesus.'
Wow.
Philip cometh and telleth to Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.'"
Wow. So, as Philip said, "Sir, we desire to see Jesus." So in healing, our focus should not be on the healing. Our focus should be on seeing Jesus. Getting to Jesus. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Wow. And that's not just healing. It's anything in our life. Anything in our life. I mean, He is our all and in all. He is our life. Our life is out from Christ. Christ in us, hope of glory. And everything that we do, it's not about doing, trying to do this or trying to do that. No, no, no. Our focus in all that we do should be getting to Jesus, trying to see Jesus. Well, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. There is no more to be said, nothing more else to do. The man requested the healing, and Jesus did it. It was just that easy. Wow. He requested it, "Will you heal my son?" And Jesus did it. The last word, "and he went his way," gives us an incomplete picture of a nobleman without even thanking you. You know, without even thanking him. "And as he went now," this is the next verse, verse 51, "and as he was now going down, the servant went with him and told him, saying, 'Thy son liveth.'" The words of Jesus was effective when he spoke. Well, our words are to be just as effective as, if not greater. Let me say that again. Our words is to be just as effective as Jesus. Who has John 14, 12? Yes, sir.
"Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do."
Wow.
"Because I go to the Father."
Wow. Isn't that amazing? No, wait a minute. Read that again, Brother Dave. Read that again.
"Truly, truly,
wow,
I say this unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father."
Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that we are to do greater works than Jesus did? Well, that's what the Bible says. I'm not saying that. That's what the Bible says. Wow, that's what the Bible, that's what the Lord is expecting of us. Often we hear we are healed and they are not. It is a poor excuse for not having the reality of the healing power. Nowhere in the Bible, though, you know, did Jesus pray for anyone. Isn't that amazing? Nowhere did it say, you know, how we go ahead and we pray, lay hands on somebody, and we pray for them. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus do that. All throughout the Bible, Jesus walked up to somebody, Susan, and he healed them. That's what God expects us to have, that relationship with Him, and to be able to walk in that place with Him and lay hands on people and have them recover. Wow. Boy. He healed them. He healed them. I remember my Bible teacher, Charles Hahn, was waiting before the Lord one day, and he was speaking in this one church, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to heal one lady tonight. After the service. After the service, I'm going to go ahead and heal one lady. And so, you know, Charles told the pastor, he said, the Lord spoke to me, and we're going to go ahead and one lady is going to be healed tonight. And so the pastor says, fantastic! We're going to have a healing service. So anyway, pastor got up and said, now if you want to be healed, Brother Hahn said that the Lord said that God's going to come and heal people tonight. And Charles said, no. One lady is going to be healed. And so anyway, after the service, pastor called all these people down to the altar, and they were praying. They were praying for each other. Oh, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, you know. Pastor was sweating, they all were sweating, spitting and stuff. But God said one woman was going to get it. And so every time the pastor was cut in front of the woman, you know, Charles said, that's not her. He stepped back, and all of a sudden the last person in line was the woman. And so that had to be the woman. So Charles stepped up there, put his hand on her head, boom! Healed migraine. For the last 3 weeks she's had a migraine headache, and God healed her. Wow. He always meets the need. But God said He was going to heal one person.
Right.
Now there's a difference between being healed and being prayed for. Let me say that again. There's a difference between being prayed for and being healed. And it is a poor representation. It is a poor representation when we pray for people and they're not healed. Because we just read, Brother Dave just read, that God expects us to do greater things than Jesus did. Wow. Because He went to the Father. Boy, that's, I don't know about you, but that gets me kind of excited, amen?
Amen.
Then inquired He of them the hour when He began to amend. And they said unto Him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left Him. Of course, the seventh hour there would be about 1 o'clock, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Even though the servant's faith operated on a lower level, it worked well enough to have his son healed. You know, faith. How much faith do you need to be healed? Isn't that interesting? How much faith? We need a lot of faith, we need a little bit of faith? Wow. But this father who loved his son had enough faith moving in him for his son to be healed. Faith is a mystery. Faith, I don't know about you, but faith is a mystery to me. You know, how does it work? Well, Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith worketh by love. You know, oftentimes when I go overseas and people will walk up to me and have me and say, oh, will you please pray for my faith? Oh, yeah, okay, I'll pray for your faith. And dear Lord, now go ahead and touch this person's love. No. I want you to pray for my faith. Well, our faith works by love. So when we lack faith, it's not an issue of our faith. It's an issue of our
love.
Faith worketh by love.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Wow. How much faith do we need? Well, faith worketh by love. The distance from Capernaum to Cana, as I said, was about 16 miles. you know, the word came at the seventh hour, his son lived, and it was enough. And there was no need to go home and to check. Maybe the father's faith wasn't as slow as what we thought. Who has Matthew 7, 17 and 20?
Matthew
17 and 20. Thank you.
And Matthew 17 and 20.
Yes.
Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Wow. And you read that in that ending again.
Okay. Remove, and nothing shall be impossible.
Nothing! Nothing shall, wait a minute, did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Did she say nothing?
Nothing
shall be impossible. You know, when we read this verse and we think about faith as a grain of a mustard seed, now, every farmer that was there, when Jesus, you know, said that, every farmer there went, ooh, Mary, and he said, ooh, mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? So small, so small. And once that mustard seed gets in that field is only good for growing mustard seed. You can't grow anything else in there. And every farmer knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Because farmers, unless you're a mustard seed farmer, they hate mustard seed. Because it grows and grows and grows. It gets this big bush. But Jesus wasn't talking about the size. Faith has no size. Faith is God's. God gives us the faith to believe. What Jesus was talking about with his faith here, he was talking about the pervasiveness of that faith. How the mustard seed will flock and just get in and work like this and get in situations. And our faith is supposed to be like that mustard seed, not big or small, but it just gets all, you know, in the issue and just gets tight and just grows. That's what God is looking for, and that's what Jesus was talking about. Not about the size, but about the pervasiveness. One of the first times I went to India, I kind of learned a little bit about faith. So I was in India after 2 weeks, and I was sick as a dog. Marion, I was so sick. Eating that Indian food, oh my Lord. And I had a roaring case of diarrhea. Wow, and I was so dehydrated, and I was so tired. I would go ahead and preach 3 times a day, and in between, I would, Susan, you ready for this? I'd pray for the sick. I'd pray for the sick. They didn't need me to pray for them. They didn't need me to heal them. Wow. So anyways, I was just so tired. It was 10:30 at night, and I was sitting there, and I was looking down the barrel of my supper bay, and that was chicken, curry, and rice. For about a week, that's all they would give me. They'd give me coconut milk and chicken, curry, and rice, because it was bland food. So it was 10:30 at night, I'm sitting there, I know that I have some chicken, curry, and rice coming, and Pastor Peter comes by and he says, Pastor Dave, will you do me a favor? And I said, of course, I would love to do you a favor. I'm sick. I have no strength. I got diarrhea. I want to go home and see my wife. And this guy wants me to do him a favor? Yeah, Pastor Peter, what is that? He says, I want you to pray for this little boy. And I said, what? He said, I want you to pray for this little boy. And I said, well, okay. What's wrong with him? He hasn't walked in 3 months. I went, oh, man, can you believe this? He hadn't walked in 3 months, and I'm sick, got no strength, no energy, I'm hungry, and he wants me to pray for this little boy who hasn't walked in 3 months. And within me, I wanted to say, are you crazy or what? And I said, no. Yeah, Art, you bring him over. And I was sitting down, I didn't even stand up. So the father held the son, and he brought him to me, and I just kind of reached up and grabbed his feet, and I just kind of pray this deep spiritual prayer, this deep, you know, prayer. God, you see that I can't do it. I have no strength. Lord, will you touch this little boy? That was it. No lightning, no thunder. No fire from heaven came down on that stuff. I just dropped the seat, and I was reaching for my chicken curry and rice, and at the corner of my eye, I saw the father put the little boy down on the ground. To this day, I'll never forget that sight.
He put that little boy on the ground,
and that little boy wasn't walking.
Oh no, he wasn't walking, he was running. He's probably running to this day. I mean, he started running and running around, and he was yelling and jumping, and he had to walk in 3 months. And God healed him. I didn't do it. I didn't have the strength. When we don't have it, God has to do it. Amen? We try to do things in our strength and in ourselves, and it can't be done. God has to do it. Amen?
Well, I never got to my chicken curry and rice that night. Because a line quickly formed, and man, oh man, he talked about having church. Wow, those Indians, they wore me out that night. But let me tell you, some great, great things happened there, amen? Faith is not ours, but it is owned by God. Let me say that again. Faith is not ours. We think we can grow faith, and we can gain faith, and we can do all this stuff. No, no, no. Faith is not ours. It's owned by God. He gives us the faith when we need it. We'll say that again. God gives us the faith when we need it. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. We hear, we get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, then we get. But what do we hear? We hear God speak to us. In the Greek, that's faith cometh by hearing a word from God. In the King James, it's faith cometh by hearing a word from God, right? But in the Greek, it's faith cometh by hearing a word. So when God speaks to us, when God tells us, when He gives us that word, I'm going to heal that little boy. When God gives that, and that little boy, and I forgot this part of the story, in my spirit, I felt the Lord saying, pray for the little boy. Even though you are sick, and even though you're tired, and all that good stuff, pray for the little boy. God spoke to me, and that happened. Amen? It's not the size of our faith. This faith is not ours. Faith is owned by God. It's the ability of the faith. Amen? Now, I'm going somewhere with all this, believe it or not. Amen? Let's see. Verse 53. So the Father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believeth, and his whole house. Amen? Because most of the household had no contact with Jesus. They likely relied on the report that was going around, you know, all around Galilee. Whenever a lower or higher faith is in operation, we will never know. But for sure, there was brought a light into the household that was not there before. Wow. The man saw more of Jesus. If you don't get anything tonight, we got to remember, no matter what we go through, it's not about going here and going there, you know. The focus in our life, no matter what we go through in life, should be about getting to Jesus. Sir, sir, I wish to see Jesus. It's not about the amount of faith we have, or even the amount of faith that we do not have, but it's whether we can get to Jesus. That's what matters. That's the focus. Amen?
Amen?
When we see Jesus, we are healed. When we see Jesus, we are healed. You know, I hear a lot of people that go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, they go to Celebrate Recovery or H2O or all of those, you know, divorce things. And, you know, I guess those programs are okay. But they don't heal you. They don't heal you. The person that heals us is Jesus. And all those programs, I guess, are okay. I think all I really need to is just get in to Jesus. Get in with Jesus, you know. Spend time with Jesus, and I will be healed. That's where we need to be. Spending time with Jesus, and we will be healed. But this, again, was the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Again, two means witness. The second miracle has meant that Jesus came to be a witness primarily to those in Galilee. but other parts of Israel, not so much. You know, Jesus really couldn't do much in most of Israel, but in Galilee, he could do much. Of the crowd that gave Jesus a Hosanna entry into Jerusalem, most were from Galilee. Most of the disciples were from Galilee, so Jesus came to a place where he could gather the fruit, bring those into faith who would later be the ones who continue the message and the purpose of the Father. You know, I was always, I'm always reminded, you know, that wonderful day we're going to be celebrating, you know, Palm Sunday when Jesus, Hosanna, and they laid their cloaks down, and Hosanna, Hosanna, and they were saying, you know, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, we've got to remember, that was the same folks about 4 or 5 days later that said, crucify him. The same folks. They didn't have a bunch of new folks come in. These were the same folks that were in the city there, and they were the same folks that said, crucify him. So I always remember that one. Yeah, in the back of my mind. Amen?
Amen.
So what kind of witness for the Father are we? What kind of witness for the Father are we? I'm not going to ask anybody to go ahead and answer that question, but I would think that would be a really good question for us to ponder. 2 down, 40 more miracles to go. Jesus did 42 miracles while he was on the earth. And he did all those miracles, believe it or not, so that people would believe. Wow. 40, of course, means a time of testing, but Jesus had 40 more miracles to go. Amen? One more thought. But let us not look for signs and wonders, but let us look for Jesus. Wow. Let us not look for signs and wonders, but let us look for Jesus. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if, you know, if is the most important word in the Bible. If is the most important word in the Bible. Because if sets the condition for receiving from God. If you do this, then I will do this. But if you do this, I will do this. So if you bless me, I will bless you. If you curse me, Jesus says, I will curse you. If is the most important word in the Bible, because if sets the condition for receiving. Oftentimes we look at the reward, what God promises us, but you know, we need to be looking at the condition and meeting the condition that God wants to bring into our life so that we can do that. So here it says in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Wow. So if you seek him, you shall find him. If, here it is again, if thou seek him with all of thy heart and thy soul. Wow. To find God, got to find where Jesus is. Got to get to Jesus, and we will get to Jesus if we can search for him with all of our heart and our soul. That's the way we get to Jesus. With our heart and our soul. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word, Father, Lord God. We thank you for this time of teaching, Father, Lord God. Lord God, so many wonderful lessons here, Father, Lord God. But sir, I wish to see Jesus tonight, Father, Lord God. And I thank you and I praise you.
Yes.
Lord, we wish to see you tonight, Father, high and lifted up in your train filling the temple of our heart, Father. Yes. And we just love you and we thank you, Father, Lord God. You're so good.
Yes.
You're so beautiful. And we just love you and we thank you, Father. We have so many areas in our life that we need to see you in, Father, Lord God. Greater things that you shall do. Greater than I have done, the word tells us. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. We thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.